My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network on the 4th of July. Can I say happy Independence Day to our American listeners if you're listening to this on the day of release? And we are back talking about Walt Disney World. It's regular podcast now every other week. I know we've had a run of podcasts weekly over the last few weeks. If you missed those, you want to catch up with my trip from Japan and Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo DisneySea. The last couple of episodes will cover you in there. But we're back now talking about Walt Disney World. Now, before I continue with this podcast, I've got to say our guests on these podcasts have done the Keys to the Kingdom tour. Now, this is a family podcast. Doesn't matter what age you are. It's all about getting you excited to go to Walt Disney World and picking up tips. Now, if you are listening with slightly younger kids, there is something we talk about later on the podcast, the other half of the podcast after the news, where we talk about the Keys to the Kingdom tour, because the Keys to the Kingdom tour takes you backstage at Magic Kingdom, and sometimes you see things. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you'll see the characters just having a bit of a break for a while and doing things they wouldn't normally do in the parks. So a little word of warning, you might want to listen to this podcast before you let little kids listen to the podcast. We might reveal a few secrets maybe from behind the scenes. I don't want to go into too much detail, but you might want to listen before you let little kids listen. But it's nothing too scary or frightening, but you know what? Before you let the little kids put their ears on, you just might want to check that out. So we'll chat to our guests very soon. We'll get the latest news from the parks. Everything that's going on right now, if you're going to Walt Disney World, so we're getting ready for the big summer holidays, maybe going over the next few weeks. And if you have any questions, you can drop me a message at PodMagical is where we are on X and Instagram. And also, for the first time, you can now listen to this podcast on YouTube. You can't see anything, but I know some people like just to listen to music or podcasts on YouTube. So if you want a new way to listen, maybe you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can now listen on YouTube as well. So hello if you're listening on YouTube. And if you want to get in touch, whether you're going to Disney World, you want to be a podcast guest, or if you've got any questions, just drop me a message. I'll do my best to answer. That is what Ella did this week. Andy, can we definitely book Lightning Lanes 7 days out from the UK? Yes, you can. I know when they brought this new system in, there was a bit of confusion that you needed a VPN. You couldn't do it from the UK. But yes, guests staying at a Disney resort hotel that includes Swan and Dolphin, you can book your Lightning Day passes up to 7 days in advance of your check-in date. You can also reserve passes for your entire stay up to 14 days. 7 a.m. Eastern time on your first day of eligibility is when you can book that. So that's midday, isn't it? 5 hours difference. So yes, don't worry about VPNs and stuff. If you're staying at Disney World 7 days out, you can book your Lightning Lanes if you're going for that one. Any questions? At PodMagical is where we are. Should we get into talking about Disney World with our guests? Okay. Fresh back from the trips to Walt Disney World, and we're back chatting Walt Disney World with Chloe and Liam. Should I say welcome home, or do they say welcome home when you get to Disney World? Which is the right way around?
Definitely when we get to Disney World.
Yeah. So welcome back, should I say.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And you were saying you've still got the jet lag?
Yeah, jet lag was really bad for the past week.
Yeah, it took us a while to acclimatise, which just means we should permanently be in Disney.
It's a sign, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a sign from the universe.
Yeah. And I assume this wasn't your first ever trip to Walt Disney World.
No, it's our...
I love it when you say that. It's our, well, that's, yeah.
That, four?
It's at that point.
Yeah. 19, 22, 23, 24, 25. Technically our fifth, yeah.
Fifth, yeah.
Oh, so if it wasn't for COVID, you'd have been even more.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think for me, first time I went was 2002. So, yeah, I can remember like the old Magic Hat in front of the Hollywood Studios and everything like that. I've got all the photo albums. We pulled them out before we went away from Mum and Dad, and like,
yeah,
just having a chuckle because you notice like the things that have changed as well. Had photos of like Fry and Nook from Robin Hood and stuff like that, like classic characters which you never see anymore.
No, never, never.
But yeah, and I think I've maybe spent 8 times, 9 times now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
How old were you on your first visit then?
I was 8. I still remember bits of it. Not that well now, I suppose. But like, I remember having my mind blown by like the fact that they had a Lego shop in what was downtown Disney then. Obviously, it's still in the same place at Disney Springs now. Like, and like, obviously, it was at the time when Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones had just come out and all of the merch was out in Disney. And I just remember like, spend all my pocket money on that, and my dad had to buy an extra hold all just to bring all of the toys and Lego that I'd bought.
I bet things have still never changed.
Yeah, and we still actually use that hold all for the holidays now.
For the swag to bring home with you.
Yeah. To show the classic.
So when was your first time then, Chloe?
Mine was 2019. That was like my my introductory trip, which was very special. It's when we got engaged on that trip.
Oh, wow.
So it was amazing.
Front of the castle.
Then I was like ugly crying in the middle of Disney. Liam had got to get me some tissues. And then this American family were like, are you okay? Like, what's happened? And I was like, no, I'm happy.
Happy tears.
One of my best ever memories was just like seeing Main Street for the first time and looking at the castle. And it's like, wow, I'm here. I think for so long I've just like, because I've always wanted to go to Disney when I was a kid. I did Disneyland Paris when I was like 7. But always want to do Disney World, but it wasn't my mum's thing. So never got to go. But sort of it actually being real and seeing it, and yeah, it was just amazing.
So was it a case of like when Chloe first mentioned that she'd like to go to Disney World, Liam, you were like, oh yeah, you worry about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, there was no hesitation. Because in the 2018, I'd gone just with my mum, and me and Chloe, we'd started dating in 2017. And the trip was already booked up. So me and my mum went, we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And as soon as I got back from that, I was basically down the travel agent for Chloe and said, right, we're going. And
I'd half convinced his mum to change the booking to me to go that year.
Say it all.
I was like, you don't need to go.
At what point during the booking, Liam, of this trip, did you go like, right, I'm going to propose in front of the castle? Was it spontaneous or was it even before you booked? Were you going, we're going to have an engagement holiday?
We'd wanted to go. And then I think probably about 7 months before, something like that, 6 months before I was going, I think I'd already decided. And then I'm going to, and I looked into how people propose at Disney. Obviously, I had an idea, like ideally in front of the castle. And kind of like then went round to mum's house and had the conversation, etc. And like we got there, and like the funny thing was, we landed. First thing was we landed, and obviously you turn your phone back off from the airplane mode, etc. And I just happened to be looking. I didn't even think. And then loads of my friends had texted me saying good luck for tomorrow and everything like that. And Chloe, you clocked on. What does that mean? I was like, oh, they were just meaning for the flight and everything like that. It's fine. and then obviously I like it was the first full day of the holiday, so I had it obviously the ringer etc. sorted. And like got up and it was like 6 a.m. in Florida, and like again woke up to missed calls, and like obviously people forget the time difference, and it was like, have you done it yet? No, I've literally got out of bed. So I think it was it around maybe it was just after lunch, wasn't it? Maybe it's like,
yeah, because your first spot didn't go to
Florida. No, because literally someone had the first idea I had was out near the castle, but is it the Cinderella wishing well? And it was going to go there, and there was a queue for photos, etc. And the guy in front of me proposed to his girlfriend. Like, I think I let out
steal my thunder.
Yeah, I let out an audible no way. Disgruntlement slightly, and Chloe was like, "What's wrong?" I was like, "Oh, nothing." You know, and then I was kind of in a bit of a because that was kind of in my mind. Like, oh, that's really nice. His castle's really close behind. Get some great photos.
Started flapping a bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, sit down, have an ice cream.
Yeah, I was a bit like, I was like, oh, it's just the heat. And then I clocked the gardens in front of the castle, and there was literally no one in them. And they're obviously always quiet for some reason. I think a few people maybe go and sit and have lunch from or an ice cream in there, but there was just like a photographer stood there, empty garden. And we just went in there, and then I just smoothly kind of pulled the ring out of the pocket and that was it. And we've got the, it was probably the best place to actually do the proposal.
Yeah, because we got amazing photos from that.
The guy who did it got the lot. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
So, like, the guy who actually proposed before me actually did me a favour, I suppose.
Yeah. You got the better option there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could have been in front of the Tangled toilets, but still. You don't know.
Yeah. Still not a bad place.
Yeah. Not a bad, it's Disney World after all. What is it that you both love about the Disney parks, and what is it that makes you go back time and time again? What is it that made you want to propose there? What is it?
I think it is just, like, the vibes, the positivity, and just being there, it is just like magical. You're so immersed in like another world, it completely takes you away from like your own day-to-day life, and it's just experiencing all these things. I think especially growing up with it, it's like the nostalgia, sort of seeing everything that you've grown up with come to life, and it's actually visible, you're seeing these things. The immersion is great.
I would second that, but I think as well, the variety that's there in all of the parks, and each park being very different. You know, your Magic Kingdom Day is very different to, say, an Epcot Day. You know, you've got parks like Magic Kingdom that have been open since 71, and there's got all of those years of history that they've built into it and built into it and built into it. And you turn the corner, there's something else to do, and you're never bored as well. Not that you're bored at any theme park in the world, but there's kind of like, there's never a dull moment, I suppose.
Always get the question of, why do you keep going back to the same place? And it's like, because there's something different every time. Yeah. We always find something new to do. There's always like a new attraction, an update, some new parades. There's always something new. And it's just a really happy place to be.
Yeah. I was just going to say, this year, the new thing we did was Country Bear Jamboree. We'd never even considered that back in the day before it being refurbed. And then we just happened to be walking past. We'd been doing it in the pin shop at Frontierland. And it was like, the show seems to be rolling every 10, 20 minutes. So we just said, oh, yeah, we'll go in here, bit of aircon. And it's one of the, like, it's one of the best things I've ever seen.
And last time you went, there was also something that closed. Were you there when Muppet 3D was closing its doors?
We went to go into it this trip because it was closing the day after. So we visited. But the queue was just like miles long. I think it got up to like over an hour wait. And I was like, you know what? I like the Muppets, but I don't love it to be standing in the heat this long.
Yeah, not for an hour. I've only ever waited 10 minutes before.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
I've done it, I think. I'm sure I've got memories of it from 2002.
Yeah, you would.
All I remember is, I can't remember what you call the two old men that are in the Muppets. I'm not the biggest, like,
Waldorf aficionado.
And I just remember those two, and I remember being amused by them as a kid, but that's my only memory of it. And for whatever reason, it's just been one that we've kind of bypassed. In Hollywood, you know. And
I think we always headed straight for Galaxy's Edge that way.
Yeah, and Toy Story,
So we walked past it, but we're never in it.
Yeah, and now, like, kind of, it's a little bit of a regret, kind of, like, because it is quite a nice area as well. You know, like, is it near the Tap House? I get confused. No, Tap House opposite, isn't it?
Yeah. The side of the road, technically, isn't it? Yeah.
And is that where it used to? There used to be part of the studio. I'm sure my age now. Used to be part of the old studio tour.
Going to ask you about what you remember from there, because you used to walk down that street, and then there was the little Honey I Shrunk the Kids play area. I think was down there on the right. And then behind that was the studio tour. Yeah,
and I'm certain I had this conversation on a recent trip with my dad, and the shot, like, there's like built up buildings opposite where Muppets is, and I'm sure there used to be shops, because from 2002, that's when I started like pin collecting, and obviously when it was MGM Studios, obviously MGM being like a big part of Bond, James Bond stuff, they were selling official Disney pins but James Bond ones. Got a 007 logo kept hidden away safely, a Dr. No one, Tomorrow Never Dies,
cool,
and I think a World Is Not Enough one, just like actual official Disney pins that are James Bond. I'm sure it's in them shops now. They're all, you can't go in them now. I think they're just designed as like a music shop.
But, well, definitely not now.
Yeah.
Did you go back to Hollywood Studios after it had closed, or?
Yeah, and we just like, we decided that was the best way into Galaxy's Edge as well, because I just like, this maybe comes on a little bit like when we talk about things, maybe just like walking through Toy Story Land is a great pain to me because it's the hottest place on earth. We always try to go the other way where you've got the big tunnel, but there was all the scrim up and everything, and the there wasn't any kind of like scaffolding up, and you couldn't see any like work going behind. But I'm sure there's, you know, you could, if you stood on the curb opposite, you could get a good view over the scrim. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like people probably videoing, like, you know, holding the cameras up, what seeing what's going on.
Oh yeah, the thing is, what you want to do is you want to get on the Tower of Terror. If you get on the Tower of Terror, would you be able to see that far? Do you know where to look?
Probably, yeah. For like the brief second before you drop.
Yeah, because I do that if I go to Disneyland Paris to the studios there, and I try and see the Frozen Land. If you go on the, you know, the alien, the soldier drop, the Toy Story drop, to try and see, it always end up on the wrong side. And so, as you're on the subject of things you dislike about Walt Disney World, what else is on your list of hates?
For us doing the Lightning Lane bookings
a week in advance.
Yeah.
We found it's just not the best. Like, doing the table service meals 60 days in advance, very happy with that because that's how we sort of do our planning. But it's like when you get there, you don't know if you want your Lightning Lane. Some days you might just want a nice chill walk around, dip in and out with a few rides, and just like enjoy the park. Mm-hmm. But you sort of don't know when you're going to do that on the day. Yeah. But yeah, trying to book them 7 days in advance, it's sort of tricky to sort of have to guess how you're going to feel on the day. Yeah. So we try to maybe book, like, if we're doing 2 weeks, we'll book maybe 3 or 4 days of the Lightning Lanes. And we try to make good use of them, but sometimes it's like heat dependent. It's like if we had something busy on the night before. So sometimes we'll maybe do 4 or 5 rides. But other days we've done like 10, 15. Yeah. We did loads on that last Magic Kingdom day.
That was probably the best we've ever utilized Lightning Lanes.
Yeah.
And like, I understand like booking on the day is also like stressful, waking up at 7 o'clock. And we've never had an issue with that being early birds. But I suppose like if you're not up for that and you miss like your slots for, I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy or your Seven Dwarfs, like the big popular ones, it's hard. But I think like just that 7 days in advance, it creates a little bit of a panic. And when you get there, there's always that thing where you kind of always have the conversation, I didn't really need to book this as well. And I think
you're on like a quiet day.
Yeah, and you know, like you go on some rides and it's like all, if you, especially if you rope drop, it's all fine, bar and maybe it's like in Magic Kingdom again, Mine Train or Tron or Space Mountain, they're all 5-10 minute walk-ons. You could blitz a lot in that first couple of hours, and then you can kind of like, if you want to go and do those, or you want to spend another rope drop day go and do in the Seven Dwarfs or something like that, then that's maybe the way to go. And again, though, that's it all comes down to how you Disney holiday as well.
Yeah, if you're early bird, do your rope drop, get loads done. But again, it depends, obviously, if you're staying on site with hotels. If you do like your deluxe ones, you can get the evening hours, which we did last year.
Yeah.
We utilised them a fair bit, which was quite good.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're a bit, I like to describe us both as a bit ad hoc with our planning as well. We have like an outline when we go, but like when we're there, sometimes we're quite happy to change. We don't necessarily feel structured into doing X, Y, and Z. And I think sometimes like the idea of the pre-booking the Lightning Lanes is, before you're going away, you're like, oh, I've got this, that day.
It's like two set.
Yeah, yeah, you're just running on a schedule then, aren't you, rather than being on holiday.
Yeah, exactly. I think especially if you have, like, you want to make the most of it, so you book one ride after another, and then it gets to maybe, like, 1 p.m. and you're knackered, you need to sit down, you need a drink, but it's like, I can't. I've got a next
pay for it.
Exactly.
And they've split it into, is it the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood? They've been split into Tier 1 and Tier 2 rides. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, I must have watched like about 5-10 hours worth of YouTube videos explaining to me before we went, because it obviously changed again. Back in the day, like 5 years ago or 6 years ago before COVID, I suppose, it was like you just went on, you selected your three, and then on when it was Fastpass Plus, and just, you kind of did what you wanted. But then it's like, and then it was like, once you booked, if you book your tier one, your two tier twos in, and now where it worked was, once you went on, like if you had it, let's say your tier two at say Magic Kingdom, which might be Pirates of the Caribbean, you went on that, you could then go on and then book another tier one in. It didn't matter once you'd done one. And I think like the one we did get done,
way of doing it.
The one we never managed this year was Jungle Cruise, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was always like super long waits. And when we did have the lightning lanes, it was just not available.
It didn't make sense though, because like the rest of the park outside of like a Seven Dwarfs never seemed to peak above 50 minutes when we were there. And Tron was just at like the constant 60 throughout the day. When it wasn't down, we got loads of notifications saying it was down all the time. So, but I mean, we're not too fussed by Tron, to be honest.
Yeah, did it last year. It was like good. I enjoyed it. But
yeah, you want to go on it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm 6'4", so the bike was quite like my legs were uncomfortable out on the bike. Yeah, really uncomfortable. I was like, so obviously you push your chest down, and then when you like you obviously pretend to ride the bike, and I forgot like size 13 feet as well, so I couldn't quite get my feet in, and the cast member basically he didn't kick, but he had to shove my foot into the lock. And it's also an issue slightly on Flight of Passage in Animal Kingdom as well, just because it's like the back brace clicks in, no bother, but the leg braces for me, because my feet are that big, there's too much, like they don't shove forward as much as they want to. So I've kind of got to like, I'm almost like the hunched right up on that as well.
That's why you never see Goofy on that attraction.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't get his feet on there. Chloe and Liam with us on the podcast. I want to talk about Keys to the Kingdom, because you did the Keys to the Kingdom tour. We'll talk about that very soon. And some of your favourite Disney World things. Back with our guests in just a moment after a quick news update. Let's see what's going on in Walt Disney World. Well, earlier on this week, we found out who's going to be performing at this year's Eat to the Beat, part of the Food and Wine Festival over at the American Pavilions. There's live performances across the festival. So the full lineup is now out. You can check out our socials if you want to find out who's out when. There's some new names, though, coming this year, including the Beach Boys, Katie Tunstall and Jordan Sparks. Concert dates go from August the 29th to November the 17th, and the dining packages go on sale, as on sale on the 17th of July. If you want to secure your entry into one of your favourite acts, is going to be performing for free at Epcot, although you do have to pay for the dining package if you want a good seat. We've got changes coming to Epcot in terms of Fast Pass tiers, Lightning Lane tiers. This is because Test Track will be reopening in a couple of weeks' time. We'll tell you more about that one later on. And we found out that President Donald Trump will return to the Hall of Presidents at Magic Kingdom when the attraction reopens. It's confirmed that he will be continuing the tradition of the acting president speaking to the audience. That's going to be opening very soon. Also, we found out a closing date for Spaceship Earth. Only temporary. There will be a refurb starting on August the 25th. I don't think it's going to be a big refurb. You know, one we were promised about 4 or 5 years ago, there's going to be a whole refurb of Spaceship Earth. Well, I don't think that's happening, but it will be down for quite a few months from August the 25th. Any more updates from Walt Disney World between now and the next podcast, we'll update you on the socials at Pod Magical. Chloe and Liam are with us on this episode of the podcast, just back from Walt Disney World, and you did the Keys to the Kingdom tour. Tell me about that.
It was amazing. Honestly, one of the best experiences ever done at Disney. Well worth it. It was just finding out like Disney history, and we had like the best ever guide. She was what I'd call like a legacy cast member. So her father was one of the original Imagineers at Disneyland California.
Wow.
And like she knew Walt personally when she was a child. Like he'd take her for ice cream and things. And we got all these stories about Walt, and it was just incredible. Her cat was like used as the model for the cats used in Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion. I was like, as if.
That's random.
I know, she was like, oh yeah, it's my cat. They didn't know like what model to use for the animatronics. And a cat did a trick where it like arched its back on command. And then Walt was like, yes, that's what I want. And it was just all these like incredible like personal stories.
Yeah.
It was, as well as like sort of the normal stuff like a guide would take you through, doing the like the tunnels underneath the castle was incredible.
That, they blew my mind, those tunnels. It sounds silly, but like
they have their own bank.
Yeah, they have their own bank, and like it's the funny thing was, you get down there, and I wondered about this because obviously there's a lot of obviously above ground, or like on the first floor is like Magic Kingdom, then below is like the belting out Disney music all day. And I've always wondered about, what are the Disney cast members like really like? Do they go down to the tunnels and do they listen to like more Disney music? No, it was like, went down, it was playing Queen and ABBA and everything like that. And she literally said that you can only take so much Disney when you work at Disney.
That's
and it was quite like, you know, it's quite funny, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But the, I mean, the tunnels you see in the tunnels, for example, we went right under where Cinderella's castle was. And you can, she was kind of directing us to look upwards, and you can see part of the steel framing of the castle.
Oh, right.
And then we basically, I don't know if you've ever been in Cinderella's castle, there's like a lift which will take you up to the restaurant area.
Yeah.
And basically that lift starts at the in the tunnels.
Oh, at the ground floor.
So like you've got kind of like, it's not, it wasn't industrial, was it, the tunnels, but like you've got like this less like, it wasn't like Main Street or anything like that, kind of like these concrete tunnels which just, etc. Cinderella, Ariel, and I think, was it Rapunzel?
Yeah, just walking at the lift.
Yeah, and
but the, just as themselves.
Yeah.
Sort of have a normal conversation. And it was nearly time for the parade. And when we were sort of out of the tunnels, we saw all the characters like dressed up on the transport to go to the parade. And the genie was there, but he didn't have his head on. So it was the genie body, and then there's just this tiny man's head.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
It happened with Mr. Incredible as well. So Mr. Incredible walked out. Just a tiny.
I'd love to see that.
Obviously, I think you have to be 16 or over to get in because the at Disney say they don't want to ruin the magic for the younger audience and the younger guests that they have, which I think is really nice.
Yeah.
But like just the, it was a, was it about 5.5 hours? It includes included lunch at Columbia Harbour House. You got a free magic. You got a free Keys to the Kingdom pin. I think for the stories that she was telling.
It was a great one where her dad was the original Imagineer for the Haunted Mansion ride. And sort of they did a test track. Test track. Unintended. And sort of said to Walt, like, do you want to sort of do a quick ride and see how it was going to look when it's finished? Obviously, he didn't end up seeing the finished product, sadly. But when he did the test ride, there's the bit where you sort of dip backwards in the ride. Before you went to the graveyard.
Yeah.
But originally it tipped forwards. But as that happened, Walt fell out of the dune buggy and rolled down the hill. So he said, I know you've created this amazing scenery with the New Orleans graveyard, but maybe we should tip it backwards because we don't want everyone falling out. So they have like certain keys that are like pillars. So it's like safety, show.
Compassion. No.
I can't remember what they all were.
Inclusivity, I think, is one now, isn't it?
Yeah,
a new key they added.
He said that like safety is always like the first key that we need to look at. So regardless of like how beautiful the scene would be, it's not ideal. Everyone falling out of the dune buggy as they're going down. It was just I just imagining Walt Disney rolling down a hill.
So did going on the Keys to the Kingdom tour give you a newfound respect for the park? It didn't ruin anything, did it?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, 100%. It was just like new insight on how things are made, and it's like walking down Main Street looking at all the windows and looking at like the names of like, so the occupations weren't the actual occupations, they were named in like a sort of pun, which was great. And I think how Walt Disney bought the land was a great story because he went under a false name, so they didn't charge him loads, so he got like, it was cheaper per acre until the last 10% of the land was getting bought, and they found out that it was Walt Disney buying it. So they racked up the prices.
Yeah. As you would.
But yeah, they used some like really funny names as the fake names.
I'd like to do it again.
Now. I would definitely recommend.
I've done it before, but it was a few years ago. I want that woman that you had. I don't want your same Imagineers.
I mean, apparently she wasn't even meant to be
Darlene,
our guide.
She
wasn't even meant to be our guide, but apparently the set guide we had had called, couldn't make it in that day. So obviously I think she works over at the
guest relations.
Yeah, she worked over guest relations, and they basically went over saying, will you do the tour? Obviously she's done it many years of times before, and obviously been at Disney since like even California opening day. She was like, yeah, no bother. And she was just telling these stories. You could tell them she's told them millions of times, but she wasn't bored. She was so excitable.
And it was like any question. She was just like a wealth of knowledge.
Oh.
Absolutely amazing woman. But yeah, Darlene was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Darlene. So let's talk about some of your favourite things. Hotel-wise, resorts-wise, where do you like to stay?
Our go-to is Port Orleans French Quarter. It's just so relaxing. it's sort of, it's great to take you sort of out of the hustle and bustle of Disney and just, it does feel like just a really relaxed resort, especially with the music. It's like jazz. And they also have like the Scat Cats Club there, which is like a really nice jazz bar. We only went in there for the first time this year, actually. They do like really nice cocktails. I mean, it's just a really just chill area.
Yeah, it's, I think the size of the resort is what I like the most as well, in terms of, like, don't get me wrong, I love Animal Kingdom Lodge, and back in 2002 stayed at All Star Movies, but they are big resorts. And kind of there is a lot of hustle and bustle to them. Whereas you go to Port Lane, as soon as you enter the door and you get out of the lobby, you know there's a lot of people, but the way it's a much smaller and quieter and calmer location. We had a Riverview room, which was just super peaceful. You wake up in the morning, I would walk down, I'd get a 6 a.m. coffee, just walking past the river. Like, the sun's just starting to rise, or like super peaceful in the morning, lovely like way to start the day.
But the best bit about French Quarter is the beignets.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't they have one with Baileys in it?
Yes.
They do.
Yeah. We haven't tried them yet, have we?
For the strip beignets. Oh, God. They're just... Nothing beats a beignet. It is my favourite food in the entire world. It was like, as soon as we checked in, I was like, I need them.
Did you leave the suitcases?
Never mind the room.
What else did you eat while you were there? Have you got any favourite restaurant?
Favourite restaurant overall is probably California Grill, because it's just, it feels a little bit fancy. It does delicious like seafood. Like, the scallops there are always stunning.
Yeah. The duck's excellent as well.
Yeah.
And if you book it for...
We normally book around 7 p.m. because you get to sort of go out on the balcony, and it has like a really good firework viewpoint. And they pump the music through, and it's just like a really comfortable way to see the fireworks. Yeah. But it's just really stunning. The staff there are always amazing.
Yeah.
Especially because it has like a really good wine selection. So if you're sort of looking for a wine to pair with food or like a celebration wine, like, we got a delicious bottle of champagne there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were just really helpful on sort of helping you select from the menu as well.
Yeah. It's quite pricey though, isn't it? Especially now they've got that set menu.
Yeah. We always use it as like a celebration one. So we did it like when we got engaged, we did it when we went back for our honeymoon.
Yeah.
It's like an occasion.
Yeah. So we didn't actually do it on this trip. It was booked in, and then we said, because we had the dining plan, so we're trying to utilize that and didn't want to kind of have too many credits left over. So we said, you know what? We're actually enjoying the normal dining plan. We'll give Cali Grill a miss this year. And do other bits. But I mean, I've never had the three times we've been, we've never had a bad experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is pricey. It's one of them. It's like a one-off kind of trip thing. It's not like you don't go every night kind of thing. But just for like that, if you want like a nice sit down, it's a long meal. So I know some people don't necessarily like that when they go to Disney, you want to be eat back out. but like, I think when you've got a 2-week stay, it's kind of, it always fits in a bit nice.
It's nice
because you've got the time. So it's a nice treat. In terms of, I suppose, quick service wise,
it's not Disney, but in Disney Springs, you can't go past Polite Pig.
Yeah, it's good.
That's our like tradition. Like, soon, like our travel day there, we land, check into the hotel, get our bag sorted, go to Disney Springs, go to Gideon's, and then get a Polite Pig. I love that the salmon's delicious, but like the half chicken, it's like smoked to perfection.
Yeah,
there's like everything, like the pulled pork, it's just all stuff.
The half chicken, I got the half chicken the first night, which was amazing. Then I get the obviously we got the sprouts as well. Is it whiskey glazed sprouts?
Whiskey caramel, glazed sprouts. Never normally a sprout fan,
no,
but the way they've like cooked these sprouts, it's stunning.
Being on the dining plan as well, like, we try to put this into a bit in our vlog when we went through it, and that, like, it's, I think in total it would have came to, if we were paying in cash, it would have came to around $68, but it was just two quick service credits. So in terms of the value we save there,
really
good. And then obviously you can go other places, and not every quick service meal for two people costs $68. You know, like Columbia Harbour House, for example, Magic Kingdom, it'll be about 30 plus or something, like an average price. But this one obviously has a bit more of that. To be honest, every time I go in, I'm surprised it is a quick, it takes the credits.
Because you're going to have alcohol as well. And they got like good whiskeys there, haven't they, that you can have?
Do a really nice Polite Punch. which Ooh. I get every time.
Yeah.
I think one time, because we haven't actually sat at the bourbon bar
no.
properly, and I think next time we might go and get like one of the taster, like the samplers of the bourbon.
Yeah.
So that'd be quite nice to try.
I'm not knowledgeable at all on bourbon. So like the first time we ever went, there was an American couple we got chatting to, who we sat next to, and they were like, oh, what bourbon are you into? They handed me a list. I was like, I have no idea.
Baffled.
Like, I was like, I'm thinking the only thing I drink that's remotely similar is on the wharf is Jack Daniels.
And I'm like,
I drink Jack Daniels, do you know. But no, I think like Polite Pig is therefore, if you've got a quick service dining plan, and obviously, I know people, if they book the package up, certain times of year, Disney offer it as a freebie.
I'm sure it's for this year and next year, for definite.
Other places we like going to, Columbia Harbour House is always a reasonable place to pop to a Magic Kingdom. I know Magic Kingdom can be a bit iffy for meals and such, but we've never...
One place I was super surprised at for breakfast, we always go to Satouli Canteen for like lunch at Animal Kingdom, because they do the really good build-your-own bowls. And also blueberry cream cheese mousse is also stunning. Yeah. But we went for breakfast this time and we got the French toast.
Yeah,
yes.
And oh, it was delightful.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, because they only recently brought that back. I say recently, maybe last year. They used to do, or they trialed it years ago, but then it's not until recently. Yeah. And I did go last time and I remember having a good breakfast there. But it's like, oh, I'm rope dropping Animal Kingdom. Have I got time to go for breakfast? So, yeah.
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 I think because I always like to have something on a morning, because just for fuel for the day. But Animal Kingdom, you always drop anywhere for like safari, because best time to see the animals is first thing. And then we normally...
Flight of Passage.
Do Flight of Passage, do Pandora, and then head to Satouli. That's our sort of Animal Kingdom day plan.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing the Wilderness Explorers, which is a fabulous thing to do.
Have you done that?
Yeah, we did it last year. It took like 2 full days, which was crazy because normally Animal Kingdom's seen as like a half day park.
Yeah.
But we went round and it was discovering new areas like Rafiki's Planet we'd never been to, which has like, it's like basically like a little mini farm over there with like goats and sheep that you can go pet. But yeah, there was like loads of different things I went travel to. You learn like fun facts, got like stickers, and you get like a badge at the end. But yeah, it was really fun to do.
They didn't realise adults could do it as well.
Literally anyone can.
I found a newfound love for Animal Kingdom last year when we did that, actually, because I think I'd found myself in the idea, well, it's great for a half day, you leave and then you go to the hotel or whatever. But we did that and having like 2 full days there. And I said this year, didn't I? Like, we're going around and it's the best park for discovering something, I think. It's not as guided. It's kind of built in, you know, like... You know, this idea that Walt wanted the parks to be built like so you could find something new. There's no straight paths in the park, et cetera, because you want to be like constantly on the verge of discovery. And actually, that one is probably the one where you find things that might surprise you the most. And kind of like you just being the explorer, I suppose. And necessarily, the other parks are very much more like not Hollywood, because it's loop doesn't make sense to me half the time. It's just an actual loop, but but like Magic Kingdom, it's kind of guided and you're almost signposted. Same for Epcot, where you've got the front of the park, then the
World Showcase, around the
world,
but
World Showcase. Sorry. So, but like I just love Animal Kingdom now, and it's not that I never loved it, but I never put it on the same level as kind of like the other three parks, and now it's kind of like
you got a newfound love.
Yeah, again, it comes down to the cast members are super helpful. They're always willing to talk, who were like helping you on this Wilderness Explorer. And it's, you know, it's a good free activity as well. And it's not always, we always say, it's not always about doing all of the rides.
Yeah, especially if you've been a few times as well, you can start discovering things you didn't even know existed. So if you want to do Wilderness Explorers, how does it work? Where'd you go? How do you do it?
So as you enter the park, sort of heading towards the Tree of Life, there's a stand on the right hand side that's like a Wilderness Explorer like kiosk, and they'll give you your guide, and it'll tell you sort of which areas to, it'll give you a map, say which areas to go to sort of collect certain stickers. But I think if you go to any of sort of the Wilderness Explorer guides, they'll be able to point you in the right direction. They always have like a orange bag with the Wilderness Explorer logo on.
Yeah.
And there's always like signs or icons sort of show where they are. But yeah, it is great for kids to keep them like busy, keep them learning. But I just thought, you know what? I'm going to give it a go. We do see quite a few adults doing it. So
yeah.
And we've got like some of them, there was one Wilderness Explorer who was, he's stationed at the Everest ride and Expedition Everest. And he basically like, he got you to go and hunt, I think it was 8 to 10 hidden yetis around like outside the ride that you've got to go and point out and go back from and say, I found this one here, found this one here. And then he would then, he then went through like why the ride was designed that way, it's got like, you know, and he would tell you about like the actual Yeti on the ride. So they're all very knowledgeable as well.
And I think next time I'd like to do there's the Pirates one in Magic Kingdom. There's a little kiosk near Tiana's Adventure. I saw someone holding the map this time and I was like, ooh, that's next nice. So I was like, next time we're going to do that.
Yeah, because I believe, I don't think they do it now, but when they used to do it, if you completed the Pirates one, your prize was a free fast pass onto the Pirates attraction. So it was always worth doing.
Oh.
But I don't think they do that anymore. What is your favourite attraction?
I love Haunted Mansion. It's just a good classic. Oh, it's just pleasing. It's just nice.
I think mine's Guardians of the Galaxy now. I cannot express how much I was flabbergasted by that ride when I first rode it. And we got like September the song? Yeah. And I think we've had that song about 4 times when we've been on. It's one we always get. So I think that's a lot of people's favourite songs. But like when it launched you backwards, and obviously I'm a big Marvel fan as well. So I'm all in for, you know, a bit of that. And it's a good length as well. And it's super smooth and fast. And you don't come off it feeling like you've got a broken neck or a broken rib cage like I do when I get off Tron. So it's a bit like, It just makes me laugh as well.
It is. I remember the first time I rode it, I came off and I was like, I have no idea what's just happened. Yeah. We'll have to do it again. I was like, I don't know what the story is. I was just being thrown around.
I don't care. Like, it was just fun.
Exactly.
Some of the Disney rides just make me giggle and smile. And like Slinky Dog's another one. Like, I don't know what it is about Slinky Dog, but I just end up spending that ride laughing and giggling all the way around. Like I'm a big child because...
Same with Space Mountain.
Yeah, I think Space Mountain's more the fear of having my head knocked off, to be honest, being in the little... and I'd be scared to go, like as I'm going around. Because I had, again, being 6'4", the Space Mountain carriages aren't the
best. Not really, yeah. I mean, it's quite difficult to get in and out anyway, but I can't imagine when you're 6'4". There's no dignified way of doing that.
Yeah, there wasn't. I was like trying to shove my bag in the side and the cart started going. I had to quickly yank down the... it was on the last day, wasn't it? Yanked down the bar, the lever, and I just had a constant leg cramp for the entire Space Mountain route. And I just got off, and I just limped off the ride. I was like, I don't know
hobbling
do this anymore now. Yeah,
and now they don't have those motorized runways to get you off. You've got to walk all the way off as well. Now that would have helped.
That's what was different.
Yeah,
that's what was different.
Yeah, the little travelator's gone now. Walk, get off and walk.
Yeah.
Because the crazy thing was when we were on the People Mover and Space Mountain was down, so all the lights were on. So you were going past on the People Mover, you actually see like the structure of Space Mountain. And I was like, that's crazy. It's just like, it just looks like a load of scaffolding. And I was like, no wonder you duck all the time.
Yeah. It does look quite cheap, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, how bizarre.
So I'm going to give you your ideal Disney World day where you can stay where you want, eat what you want, do what you want. Talk me through your perfect 24 hours in Walt Disney World.
Oh, well.
Rope drop Gaston's.
To stay, I'd love to stay in the Polynesian.
Yeah.
Polynesian in a bungalow.
Is like, in the ones that are on the river. They look amazing. That's like the dream one. So stay there after a lovely, relaxed evening, going to Ohana for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Hang on here a minute. You've extended this into a day before.
We have. We've got to set the scene.
Yeah, okay, right.
So when we rope drop, we don't always rope drop rides. We'll sometimes rope drop food.
Yeah,
right.
And Gaston's is like the perfect place for that. So we normally get like a cinnamon roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've just changed the ham and gruyere tart to a ham and gruyere croissant.
And?
Which really, really good.
Oh, okay.
I was like surprised by like, how delicious it was, because it was filled with like a bechamel sauce as well, because it wasn't just like a ham and cheese toastie. I was like, oh, it's just like going to Costa back home. But it was So, so good. We also tried the creme brulee croissant as well, which was stunning. That was like one of the best snacks.
That's good.
Yeah, that was really
that
good.
That was delicious.
And then after
we've done Gaston's.
Ride the classics.
The classics.
Yeah.
Small World, Haunted Mansion, Philomagic. Can probably never get on Peter Pan because it's always a 60-minute wait. It's
too busy.
I don't understand. That's one of my things. I don't understand the hype for Peter Pan.
Yeah, I think it's the low loading, Chloe. It takes so long to get on and off. That's what it is.
I like the little flight around London, but it's just too long of a wait for me.
I think after riding the Peter Pan one in Tokyo, Disney say, sorry to jump parks, but I look at that one and thinking, Tokyo has the Peter Pan ride you need to ride now.
Fantasy Springs in Tokyo or something else.
Oh, we'll come back to that in a minute. Park that forward. let's finish off your day.
Definitely do the classics. We love doing Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah.
Definitely get that in. We always do like a lunch spot at Columbia Harbour House. And then I love Be Our Guest for like dinner.
Yeah.
And then a nice fireworks to end the day. Because Happily Ever After is just, it's great. It's
perfect end. Yeah.
It is.
So it's a Magic Kingdom day, all day.
Oh, yeah. There might be a little pop back to the hotel, maybe around the 2 o'clock mark, to avoid any incoming rain in Florida. And
just to at like 2 p.m.
get that little like rest and sometimes, like, because I mean, the heat this year was, I mean, we went in April last year, the weather was amazing. It's the best it's ever been. It was basically like a nice, non humid summer's day in England. But then, like, this year it was about 35, 36 Celsius all day, every day.
And this was June?
This was June as well. And it kind of, I think normally there must be, maybe it's 5 degrees lower than that, but it was just, and there was no rain. Like, we always, like, not really, no. I mean,
I think we had, one of the last days, we had an hour of rain.
Yeah. There was one, the second from last night, it rained before Fantasmic.
Yeah.
So we decided to give that a miss, but other than that, it was like either we missed it, but I never saw it. I never saw the rain.
Strange.
It was just, I'm sure it was because, you know, it's Florida. But like, I mean, when we went on our honeymoon in 2023, they had to put a weather warning out, not for rain, for the heat, because Florida went, was it 8 days without any rain?
Yeah.
So it was obviously, and that was in August. So that was like, honestly, I mean, it was hot this June, but I'll still say this, I've never known heat like it was in that.
It was a humidity. Moved, it was like the air was just constantly.
You took two steps outside and you were diverting inside and it was actually uncomfortable. Normally I'm okay with it, but that was outrageous.
So of all the Disney parks around the world, you mentioned Tokyo. How many have you done?
So we've done Paris, both when we were very young.
Yeah.
And then obviously we've done Florida and then Tokyo. That's like one of my life goals is to get all the parts complete.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And what did you think of Tokyo? Obviously, I've just come back.
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was just so different. Like Disney Sea was.
Yeah. Disney Sea.
Another world.
Disney Sea. Is it the greatest theme park in the world?
I think it is.
I think it might be. I think
Disney Sea is just incredible.
It's a bit like an evolution of the Epcot idea as well. You know, you've got the different parts and what have you, but. I mean, the Imagineering that's on shore there, and do you know what
Beauty and the Beast ride
at Tokyo Disneyland as well? Yeah,
the Tokyo Disneyland. Yeah,
it's, I mean, the space as well in both parks was, it's like obviously because the story behind Tokyo Disneyland was that literally they rang Disney up and said we want the Magic Kingdom, and obviously the kind of like that's what they did, but it's like they took a few lessons learned from how they built like the space that they have in America, and they just expanded the pathways and. You're not. It doesn't feel as claustrophobic as parks like the Magic Kingdom can in America compared to Tokyo Disneyland. Disney Sea is just next level. Next level.
It seems to be the money they spend. They're not afraid to invest.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That Frozen ride in Fantasy Springs
is out
of this world. It's like the entire film being told, unfolding the most amazing advanced animatronics on this boat ride.
I still don't know how a cape. Goes from being frozen solid. And it just drifts.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
But I mean, Fantasy Springs as well was just.
it was just walking into the land where you have all the, like, carved stone.
Yeah.
Of, like, Pocahontas. Pretty. And Rapunzel. Oh, it was... The Rapunzel ride was stunning as well.
It made the, yeah, the very wet wait we had on that morning worth it because, I mean, obviously it's very different than Tokyo. You're kind of queuing if you want to get in from... Was it about 6:30 in the morning?
Yeah, we were there early.
And we were stood in the rain outside of Tokyo Disney Sea for about an hour and a half, all drenched. And everyone's kind of like, you get in the park and then there was the rush. For, I can't remember what you call the system now when you go on the app and you were trying to book things in.
Yeah.
The fast passes and
yeah.
The paid
yeah.
for ones, the free ones, the shows.
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually we obviously you make your way to Fantasy Springs and just like it. It mizzled on all day, but it didn't like dampen the spirits in such a way that you just see it and you kind of like very much mesmerized. Kind of first, like the only thing I can compare it to when it first saw it was when I first ever saw Galaxy's Edge in terms of that first Star Wars hit. And
yeah,
I think Imagineering level. Seeing the Fantasy Springs entrance was on par with me seeing the like Main Street for the first time.
Yeah,
it was just like absolutely mind blowing,
stunning. So what are your Disney plans now then? You got September, I believe, you're going to back to Disney
September's
World?
Booked up, yeah. So we're away for a week, just kind of like we're stopping at Caribbean Beach. We've never done that one before. We know it's a much bigger resort, but we kind of got a really good deal. And I think we want to give like a Skyliner resort a bit of a go.
Yeah, it's a good resort.
And I don't know, I hear different reports about people love the actual resort, but they don't like the size of it. Whereas I'm a bit like, okay, I'll give that a go, see if, because we're coming from the background of we love Port Orleans because it's smaller and such. Yeah. So I'm quite happy to have the comparison. And again, it's Disney, so it's not going to be a bad experience.
I think it's nice to get
a different
insight, resort. Yeah.
Because obviously prices differentiate between the hotels as well. So sometimes it's good to have options if you go on like every year or two anyway.
Yeah, I think scouting out sort of what hotel... Is that a good fit for us? Like, I loved Animal Kingdom because I got to see the giraffes every morning. But it was sort of a long trek, like, for transport to get anywhere. But, yeah, I think because it's got Skyliner and, like, Epcot's probably our favourite park to visit, it's an ideal. And then we can go straight to France and head to La Haute Boulangerie and get some delicious breakfast there.
Yeah.
So if we want to see more of you, we want to follow your adventures, where are you? How do we find you?
We have a YouTube channel called Cavalcade Vlogs. We've just started, I suppose, as I've released this podcast, there'll be two episodes out. The travel day is out, and there will be obviously day one, which is a Magic Kingdom day, where we do the Happily Ever After dessert party. We ride loads of rides. We just have like a full-on day of Magic Kingdom. The travel day, we chose the experience of flying from Newcastle on the TUI Dreamliner. The French Quarter Hotel, big hotel room tour, Disney Springs Polite Pig. And then we also have an Instagram handle as well, which is the same name, Cavalcade Vlogs. And we try to post daily to that, whether it's just a silly little post or like alerting people to different things and kind of just showing you ins and outs of our opinions and reviews and like quite a positive. We want it to be a positive kind of like little community that follows as well. You know, because it's Disney and it's a happy place and we want the channel to be a bit of an escape for people as well. You know, like, see, you know, we're quite a quirky duo as well. So Chloe's kind of the star of the show mostly. I'm the one.
You're just there.
Film. But no, it was something we just did for fun last year.
I think his friends were always like, what is Disney like? And when you try to explain sort of the sheer size of it and everything you can do, it's like, oh, it's a theme park. And it's like, no, it's so much more. So we did it to sort of show them. And then we sort of got some subscribers going and some views. And it's just really nice to share with like the Disney community because it is such a really positive place.
The Disney community is that's been really nice. Anyone I've spoken to, yourself or like there's other channels as well who are super kind and super willing to listen and just talk and, you know, not just about all things Disney, just kind of like obviously because there's a lot of it's quite UK. I didn't realize it was just like a UK audience for it. And like what they do in terms of they go to the UK parks as well and stuff like that. So I'm learning stuff about, you know, theme parks that I didn't even know and how to do things. But yeah, it's been really fun. It's just again, it's like a nice little side hobby. And it was just done. We just started the vlogging on my old iPhone. Just started last year, and you know, quite enjoyed it and learned quite a lot. And we filmed around Tokyo Disney as well. And it's been nice for myself, kind of like seeing how much we've kind of changed in the past year, just kind of what we do. And, you know, whether it's kind of, it sounds silly, but like when you're talking to the camera, like standing still and all of that kind of things, you just learn.
I think it's also nice just to have a recollection of what we actually get done on holiday, because sometimes we'll sit and think like, oh, what did we actually do on that thing? Or like looking, so photos only hold so much, but actually like hearing the sounds of the parades. Like we did the Boo to You Halloween parade in Magic Kingdom, and that is my like favorite parade. And just like hearing the song, and oh, it just
brings
happy.
Yeah. The memories are there forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brilliant. Lovely chatting to you. I'll put all the links on our socials as well and can share those across. Meanwhile, Chloe and Liam, have a magical day.
Thank you so much.
Too. You too. Thank you.
If you would like to join me on the podcast to talk all things Disney World, maybe you are sitting in the airport right now heading off to Orlando, then when you get back, let's get you on. Let's talk about your adventures. Or even if you've not been for years, doesn't matter. Everybody's got a story. At Pod Magical is where we are on the socials. Going to be a busy weekend this weekend because, of course, 4th of July today, Independence Day weekends. So there's a lot going on in the parks, which means a lot of crowds. In fact, we are into summer, so a very, very busy weekend this weekend, but generally the next few weeks are going to be busy anyway. Temperatures looking at the low 30s throughout the day with those afternoon storms. Even overnight, you're talking like low 20s overnight. Keep your eye on the tropical storm Chantal that is hovering around the coast of Florida. Keep your eye on that over the weekend. Pound to dollar looking still around 1.36. It has come down a little bit from 1.37 earlier on this week. Stuff going on. SeaWorld have got their summer spectacular with fireworks and drone shows at night. They've also got the bands, beats and barbecue across summer. Disney World is cool kids summer with extra characters. I noticed Mickey Mouse just walking around the park one morning for the extra magic half hour. So, yeah, there is a little bit more visibility of characters for that first half hour entrance. Test Track reopens 22nd of July. That means there's a tier change for Lightning Lanes over at Epcot. So Test Track, Frozen and Remy are your tier one. So you can have one of those and then two from anywhere else. So like Soarin and Figment, they're the two. Guardians, by the way, is not on there because you've got to pay separately for Guardians. Now, I've got top tip for this episode. I should have really mentioned this, well, months ago, but I didn't. But now I'm going to mention it because my last chance to mention this. So this weekend is your last chance to go over to visit Tom Sawyer Island and also your last chance to ride Liberty Bell, because as of next week, they're going to be closed forever as that new Cars attraction starts being built over by Rivers of America. However, if you do happen to be in Magic Kingdom this weekend, Liberty Bell, you can be the honorary captain. If you ask very nicely, they let you be the honorary captain. You get to ride in the wheelhouse. You even get a certificate. This is something I should have mentioned ages ago. I'm not going to get to do this. But if you do happen to be listening now in the airport, going to Disney World, and you're in Magic Kingdom this weekend, just try that. One last chance. Also, I do believe on the monorails, sometimes if you ask nicely, they let you go and sit in the cockpit of the monorails as well. So if you can't do the riverboat, then do try it on the monorail. That's your top tip for this episode. Be back 2 weeks from today, chatting more Disney World. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe on Apple and Spotify and now on YouTube as well. You can listen to the podcast via YouTube. Like us on the socials at PodMagical. Back in 2 weeks. Until then, please stand clear of the doors.